guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice and Bengals Nation. Got my boy Jeremy with me. Fortunately, Mike, our other brother, cannot join us today. He had a family emergency, so thoughts and prayers go to him. So, welcome to the show, as I always say. Click that like and subscribe button. I'm up to 656 subscribers. I greatly appreciate all that. And this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. Now, as you know, we come from the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, bringing you West Side version of sports where Joe freaking Burrow and the Bengals won their first game of the year. And Jeremy, I'm so excited. I kind of feel like singing.
You feel like singing?
Yeah, do like a little jig, a little dance or something.
What kind of jig are you talking about, Jeff?
One of the originals from Bengals fans. It goes something like this: A who day, a who day, who day, a who day think they're gonna beat them Bengals when they play in the jungle afraid of nobody. Boom,
bam, love it.
Yeah. Hey, if you can't celebrate a win, when are you ever going to celebrate anything? So I thought that was a good, funny way to start the show.
Loved it. Great voice, Jeff. Great.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Love it.
I'm such a phenomenal singer. So I got a question. There's a guy named Redman. I think we've talked about him on the show before, and some people have mentioned certain things. I think some guy mentioned that he wouldn't even see the playing field, but I'm not sure exactly who that guy was. But did somebody else say something about him?
I think somebody said something about when they signed Redman, he would probably be starting within the next two games. I thought dude could be a weirdo. Dude could be a complete weirdo.
Oh, I know he's weird. That's a fact.
Yeah, guys.
But who knew that Redman would be or might be the glue that holds this whole offensive line together? Because as far as I know, on the radio here, one of the broadcasters said that there was one sack yesterday, but pretty sure we looked it up. There were zero sacks yesterday. I mean, Jonah Williams getting out there, pulling on that running play. I know Pro Football Focus had him ranked. That was his highest rating they've given him. I don't subscribe to it, but this is what I was told. He was like 40 last week. He's 44 this week. That offensive line looked pretty good. That offense looked great.
You're not kidding, man. I literally had, as we've talked in the past and as you've said, you know, we can't look past our offensive line. We have one good game against the Jaguars. We can't just say, oh, well, everything's fixed now. It's all great. But I kept an eye on Jonah Williams for one reason, because he is our future. We signed him. We drafted him first round, first, you know. Right. He's our future. And, man, Studley. He looked studly. He looked bad. He was a man. He was
bad,
a man.
Badass. He looked badass.
Yeah.
What's up, Matthew? What's going on, brother? How you doing today?
Call me.
The funny thing is, and I brought this up on Friday's show, and I'm not taking credit for it. I stole it from Dave Lapham, but he said that there's a better shot of Bobby Hart and that side of the line playing better with Redman in there, because he was our right guard last year when the offensive line started playing better. So the way that offensive line looked yesterday is the way it looked at the end of last year. Now, by no means do I mean, and you just said it, the offensive line is not fixed. I want first round, you're drafting a right guard, a right tackle, or something, you know, because left guard, I think Michael Jordan's right guard is, or excuse me, left guard, I think he's doing okay. Still got to sign. It's not.
I just got the last half of that, buddy. You were cutting out a little bit there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just said the Bengals have to draft either a right guard or a right tackle next year.
Definitely. I think everybody that's watching this, going to watch this, I would 100% agree with that. It this was the Jaguars, but it was a win, fellas. It was a win. So we are 1-2-1.
Right.
Which, feels good.
We still claim the Chargers game as a win. So, you know, by our math. Yeah, but I was told math is not a requirement for this show. So, not really. Yeah.
Sure. No. Sure.
But speaking of math, now Joe freaking Burrow is the first rookie ever to have three straight 300-yard games. Unbelievable. You got some more stats on Burrow there too, Jerry. We got to take it away.
Yeah, man. Burrow, you know, 25 of 36, 300 yards, touchdown, interception. Interception was not his fault. We all seen it. Everybody that watched the game, he threw it up to Sample. Perfect pass. Sample catches it above his head. He leaves it there. It's a touchdown. He brings it down. It's an interception. No touchdown. I stole that from you, Jeff, but
you did.
I mean, I just got to agree with you on it 100%.
How many times have we seen wide receivers and tight ends do that? You high point the ball, you catch it, you keep it there, you get 2 feet down, it's touchdown. The play's over. It doesn't matter after that. And that's all he had to do, but he brought it down to him and he ripped in, you know, and whatever his name is. Who got the ball?
100% agree.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't think of the Jaguars player now, but he ripped it right out of Sample's hand.
So, oh, Miles anyway, Jack?
Yeah, Miles Jack. Yeah. Thank you. But I mean, a guy who I think had a great game too that stepped up and is living up to expectations is, I think, T. Higgins. He had 4 receptions for 77 yards, an average of almost 20 yards. 19.3 is his average yards for his catch, for his catches yesterday. I mean, I think he is very quickly becoming one of Joe Burrow's best targets. I mean, obviously, Tyler Boyd had those stats at.
He's sick.
He had 70 receptions for 90 yards, 12.9 average. So, yeah, Tyler Boyd is the man. AJ, yeah, I know. We got somebody here talking about AJ. It's my boy. I love AJ. But, yeah. Well, okay. I got a question for you, Jeremy, and for our viewers out there. The very first deep ball that Joe Burrow threw to AJ. Now, to me, I'm not never been a fast guy at all. So I don't know what it's like. But to me, it looked like on TV, if AJ runs straight, he has a chance to at least run under the ball. But it looked like he was running toward the sideline. I'm like, where are you going? And then it kind of looked like I thought he hurt himself. You know, he pulled up I don't know what that was. It just looked like run straight. You might have a chance at it, but you ran toward the sideline. I don't know.
You know, it's been that way all year, really. I mean, bro's running out of the pocket. He's telling him, go, go, go. He throws the ball, and then you see AJ kind of cutting towards the sideline, and you're thinking, what does go, 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 and then where are you going? But he may have come up a little gimpy. I don't know, but I'm wearing his jersey today because I did give him a hard time. I did give him a hard time yesterday. I was a little bit upset with him, but I did go back and look at a little bit of film. A lot of the coverage was leaning towards AJ Green.
Oh, yeah.
It gave Boyd, it gave Higgins, it gave Sample. I think that little extra time. And as long as AJ's still pulling that defense,
right,
it is what it is.
Right, I agree with you. That's why the speed. Yeah, okay. The first one, the Facebook user said, I think he's hurt. He might still be hurt because he's just that. Like I said, that speed is just not the burst. That is just not there. But yeah, Bates. Yeah. I agree with you, Matthew. Bates played that first interception. That was totally on Bates. He drilled that dude. Shot the ball straight up in the air. And we got that INT. That set the tone for the game. I mean, that was a heads up play. Bates has been playing a lot better. Our defense still had too many penalties though.
too many penalties. But he was talking about in the red zone. I think what he was talking about was that hit on our ex-Bengal Tyler Eifert.
Oh, yeah.
In the red zone.
He lit him up.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. He drilled him.
Loved it. He came after the game. He came up to his mama and said he was sorry. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Yes, here. For our penalties, we had 7 for 73 yards. That's too many penalties. I mean, it's to be a winning team. And the funny thing is, up until last week, we really weren't getting that many penalties. It didn't seem like. And the last two games, especially our defense, we've gotten more penalties. Armadillo kills me. That's all. Lou Amaretto. I call him Armadillo. But we got the lead. I think it was going in, heading to halftime again. We got the lead, I think.
Yeah.
And he starts playing zone. I'm yelling at the TV, don't play zone. And they go down the field. I mean, luckily we stopped them and they just got a field goal, which I actually, I don't know about you, on TV, it looked like he missed the thing again because he missed the very first field goal. I thought he missed that one. I'm like, all right. And they're like, oh, it's good. I'm like, the hell are you looking at? It looked like he went whoop. But I don't know.
It was close. It was very close. And we've done a lot of bending, but not breaking. And that's, right. I mean, but too many penalties. And it's, you know, and especially when you're talking about penalties, we can talk about the defense, yes. For one, though, how many times was Burrow hit or pushed or shoved or whatever after he threw the ball? How many times this season is Burrow going to have to deal with taking hits after he throws that are purely late hits, but the refs won't call it? If that was Tom Brady out there, he would already have 10 penalties on him this year. You can put a freaking pin in it.
Where's a pen? I dropped my pen. Sorry. Right. I don't have a pen to put a pen in it. But yeah, it's even all that, that's what's so awesome about watching Joe Burrow. Even all that going on around him, he's still throwing for 300 yards. I mean, and the other good thing is, where's Mixon? He had 150 yards. What was his total total yards? He had total combined yards. I had that written down somewhere. Do you have that?
He had. Go ahead.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Rushing yards, 150 yards rushing, 25 attempts. Where is his receiving? Go ahead, if you got it. I can't find it for some reason. I got it.
He had 30 yards receiving, but one was for a touchdown. So
yeah,
you know that makes it a little nicer. That, you know, gets him close to 200 total yards.
And here's another cool tidbit about Joe Mixon and how good a weapon he is, and we finally got to use him. But Joe Mixon was the first Bengal since Corey Dillon. A guy named Corey Dillon. You heard of him before? You know, he set the single game rushing. Yeah, set the single game rushing record against the Denver Broncos. Anyway, Corey Dillon, 19 years ago, rushed for 2 TDs and catching another one. He's the first one to do that since then. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like saying 151 yards. I mean, he's getting in Hall of Fame numbers there. I mean, which, my opinion, Corey Dillon should be a Hall of Famer. Willie Anderson should be a Hall of Famer. Ken Anderson, I can get a list and go on. Kenny Anderson, Ken Riley, let's can go on and on. If they weren't Bengals, they'd be Hall of Famers. But, you know.
That is very, 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 very true. But, you know, that is what it is when you live in Cincinnati, I guess. But Joe isn't getting the call.
Yep. We agree with you, Matthew.
Joe isn't getting the calls agreed. It's BS.
Yeah. He agreed with you, what you're saying. He wasn't getting any calls. You know, he's getting.
Oh, yes.
But I thought the funny thing was one of the times when Joe did scramble and he slid. It was a long-haired, blonde-headed guy for Jacksonville. He just stood there. And he's like, slide, or I'm going to hit you. Slide. So Joe just slid. Like, all right, I'm done.
He's like, sits on his butt. I'm like, Joe. Yep. I heard you played high school. I mean, I played high school baseball.
He needs to learn how to slide, dude. Yeah, that slide wasn't very good, you know. I'm an old, fat 45-year-old, but I think I could show him how to slide. I might hurt myself, but I think I can. Yeah, he's got to do a little better than that. But, you know, as long as he gets down, it's cool. That's the big thing. Get down and don't get hurt.
Yep. You know, the thing about it is just like many of y'all Bengal fans that are watching or are going to be watching, as I say, you watch that touchdown get taken away by the first penalty, the holding penalty. Pretty weak, pretty quick holding penalty. Perfect pass by Burrow. Touchdown, taken away, kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Then you throw a perfect pass, sample, keeping up in the air. Touchdown, nope, taken away. How many times has that happened this year? I mean, do we have a total count on that? Because I think I'm at 4 to 5 right now that he should have.
At least. And it's just the ones that are right there. And like Higgins, like right after, I think it wasn't samples. The next time maybe down, he threw one into the other corner, gets Higgins. Yep. And it's right. The only one's going to catch it is Higgins or nobody. He throws him right there. So, I mean, I am not complaining about Higgins. Higgins had a good game, and he contested, made a lot of contested catches. But those are things Joe's going to give you a chance to make the play. You know, I mean, sometimes more often than not, because there's one throw he threw to AJ. AJ's double-teamed, and he's throwing the ball. I'm like, no, don't throw it. And luckily, nobody caught it. That's where AJ – I think AJ hurt his wrist. I think it's where you heard his wrist on that.
Yeah, he got, actually, he was pass interference. I mean, there was pass interference there that didn't get called, of course. Yeah, but
the dude drilled him right with his helmet. I mean, it wasn't a bad hit, but it was. He did get there a little bit early.
I tell you, we could talk about the referees, but you know what?
But anyway,
we won the game.
I'm not going to say complain. The thing is, we got to. Like I said, we have got a big challenge on our hand this coming Sunday. We got the Ravens, and they are legit, no joke. Now, if there's any chance that the offensive line can play as good as it did yesterday against the Ravens, we got a chance to beat them. But I don't know. I'm not so confident that that's going to happen because we only had one good week of offensive line play. So that's something to look forward to. Bengals report 18 best. Bates is the best safety. Yeah, Bates is a very, very good safety here. Hey, I got another question.
Yes. In a sec. They mentioned that Sunday, actually, that he may be Pro Bowl this year if he keeps it up.
All right, Higgins is the next Green, in my opinion. Always a Green fan, but Burrow and Higgins have a great chemistry. That'll go far in the future. Exactly. And I was yelling it a couple times during the game. I'm like, it's like old times, 9 to 85. And I'm like, that's it for you.
How do you stop 85? Seriously, how do you stop 85?
Are you talking about 7-Eleven? Always open?
Exactly. So it was fun to watch that combo again. And I know I'm on here all the time. Joe Burrow this, Joe Burrow that, yada, yada, yada. But, dude, he's the best quarterback I've seen for a rookie in a Bengals uniform. I've been a Bengals fan all my life, from Ken Anderson to David Klinger to Jeff Blake to John Kitna. Achilles Smith. You know, so he's the best quarterback I have seen. That's why I get on. We've got to protect him, and we actually did. See what happens.
That's exactly right.
All right. Why don't you take that one if you can read it, Matthew or Jeremy?
Stephen Carter made a great catch. Looks like he has more speed than Sample, and the hands were there on that catch. That was a beautiful catch by Carter. That was it was much needed at the time, and it was. The pass, again, we're talking about Burrow. It was beautiful as well. But, man, what a – and you would not think that by watching Seathan Carter. Who's Seathan Carter? But the kid – you give him a shot, you never know. I mean, it was beautiful. It was. It was nice, real nice.
Exactly. Well, like I said, you know, I was saying this a couple shows ago that I would take – some of our wide receivers, if you turn to flip them into offensive linemen, because the way Joe Burrow plays, he doesn't need a great wide receiver. He needs a good wide receiver. He needs a better offensive line. I'm not saying get rid of any of these guys, but I'm just saying that's how good Joe Burrow is. He makes guys better. And that's, I mean, You got to talk about Tom Brady. I mean, last time he had a great wide receiver was a guy named Randy Moss. Other than that, he didn't have any great speed, you know, open the top, you know, that's the only one he's had. And he's won, what, six? So, I mean, I'm not saying Joe Burrow is going to do that. I'll be fine if he wins six. That's fine. I'll take six Super Bowls. I'm good with that.
Yep. if he can turn a guy with the last name Edelman,
Edelman,
we can go.
We can go on,
but exactly. He's the man. How about that defense yesterday, though, Jeff?
That defense, they didn't do yesterday, which I kind of surprised me, is really didn't pressure the quarterback at all. Not really. I mean, we sacked him a couple of times. Well, we sacked him, but
three sacks,
three times. But there was a lot more times where he had more time to throw the ball than I thought. Because last week we were getting pressure on him again, you know, and it's kind of like in every other week. Like 1 week we get pressure, next week we don't. So that was one of my pet peeves. And I, like I said, Armadillo going to that zone is just I don't know why he wants to do that. That makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
It really doesn't. And to get 429 yards. Now, some of those yards were in garbage time. They pretty much knew their last drive. That was about a 60-yard drive, maybe even more. So we allowed that to kill the clock to win the game.
And we were playing zone. Zone. Need to stop playing zone.
What happened to our 3-4? That's what I was looking for. Where was that at? I mean, two plays, I think, three plays. I can't. We was in a 3-4, and then we just let's go back to zone, boys. What do you think?
Right. And I gotta say something here. Hold on a second. We've been on for at least 21 minutes, and nobody has said we need a new coach. Interesting how that happens. I think it is because. Well, I'll tell you this. Did you see the team that came out the second half was ready to go, and they figured something out. And the thing I liked, when they figured out, give the ball to Joe. Joe Mixon, you know, Joe-to-Joe connection. He caught balls out of the backfield. He ran over guys. You know, he wasn't making his first cut in the backfield. That was amazing. You know, but that's one thing that I think that Zach Taylor – has done in the past. He goes away from Joe Mixon too early. He didn't yesterday. He kept feeding him. How many carries did he have? I got that written down again. I start talking about stuff. I should actually have it down here or by me so I can see it. Oh yeah, he had 25 attempts. 25 attempts. I mean 151 yards. That is the most attempts he's had all year. I think he had like 17 attempts last week. So I mean we've been saying that. All year, you got to give the ball to Joe, but it's easier said than done when Joe Mixon's making cuts in the backfield, you know, or the linebacker's right there trying to get the ball from Joe Burrow before he gets it to Joe Mixon. So,
That's exactly right.
So, I like the second half, I don't want to say adjustments, just the stubbornness to stick with it, you know, stick with the run. All right. Yeah. Bengals report. Zone coverage late. In the half keeps allowing these teams to score. But yeah, before the half, exactly. We've done it. We did it this week. We did it last week. It's just, I don't know why Armadillo likes doing that, but he does. I know. Armadillo. It's a good drink, I heard. All right, Matthew, have you guys heard about Sean Williams? Hope we get Geno back this week. I hope we get Geno back this week too. But I'm more concerned about. Well, I'm concerned about Gino, but Mike Daniels, our boy Mike Kyle said last week, he might be out for a couple weeks with an elbow injury. So,
week 11, even.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the 10 to 11. And then you're looking at Gino, he's kind of week to week now. He should be back next week, we all hope. And then,
I hope.
You know, Sean Williams. He's kind of he's week to week as well. That's the last thing I've heard on that. So I don't.
Yeah, I haven't really. It's with the COVID and everything. It's hard to find out. To be honest, it was hard to find out injuries before. Now it's damn near impossible to find it out now. That's so, true. especially for us since we're just Bengals fans. We don't have the little badge to let us in saying, hey, I'm with Strawberry Ice. Let me in. They're like, Strawberry who? All right, never mind. Forget it. There's just some guy who's got a YouTube show. Don't worry about it. No big deal. Oh, man.
I don't know, Jeff, but I was looking up Joe Burrow's stats, and there's something I cannot explain. I don't know. Hopefully, maybe there's somebody out there that's watching or will be to explain it to us. But he's seventh in total passing yards in the NFL.
That's pretty good.
He's eighth in INTs. The guy is throwing at 70%.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yet his QBR, and this QBR rating was off of NFL.com, and I don't know if anybody can tell us something different. But why in the hootie-hootie-hoo, okay,
beep,
is his QBR 53.6, which is
kind of low.
24th in the league.
And he's had three straight 300-yard passing games. Like I said, I was told math is not a requirement to do this show, so I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe somebody out there knows. But to me, that it seems awful low, especially when you threw three games and had three 300-yard passing games back-to-back-to-back. I don't know.
First time in history. I don't know.
Yeah. Something don't add up to me.
Oh, it does not.
So I'm just sitting there looking at some of the like our fourth down efficiency. They're one for one. We were one for one. They were 27-40 in passing. See, now they rushed 20 times and only had 89 yards. And which that's the one I've been looking for. That's the one that surprised me. Just because we have not been great at stopping the run, especially when we don't have Geno in there, which we haven't had all year, and when we don't have Mike Daniels in there. Now, granted, again, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't have Leonard Fournette anymore. If they had him, maybe it would have been different. I don't know, but that's pretty good. You know, like I said, you can be excited about the way we played yesterday and all this stuff. Like, I remember it was the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully we figured out something that we can use moving forward, you know, but we are definitely going to find out real quick if they figured anything out with the Baltimore Ravens coming up. I mean, like now. Are you one? Great. Let's start working on Baltimore. It's Baltimore week.
Exactly. And we're going to find out about our O-line. We're going to find out much more about our defense because if we give them 27 out of 40 passing for 351 yards and two touchdowns like we did Gardner Minshew.
Okay. The mustache.
The mustache boy? Yeah. Mr. Whatever. Okay. Anyway. Jackson is going to just be a little bit tougher to stop, tougher to bring down, tougher to get to, tougher to cover the receivers because he's going to make his own. Yeah, everybody's seen Lamar Jackson play. So our defense is really going to have to step up to play against Baltimore. Yeah. We will find out a lot.
Yeah, and then we'll find out a lot about Joe Burrow, too, because yesterday offense had a total of 505 yards, and that's the first time they've reached 500 in 4 years. So, I mean, that I'm not saying we're going to do that against Baltimore, but you gotta remember one thing is in past years, for some reason, when we've had a good quarterback, which, I mean, this is Andy Dalton, and it goes for Andy Dalton, two Carson Palmer, we've actually done pretty good in Baltimore. Now, I digress because I think these teams are better than those other teams we've had, you know, past years we played against Baltimore. So we'll see. But we've had pretty good luck playing them, you know.
That's true. We know each other very well. So we're going to find out where we stand next Sunday, Bengal fans. We can promise you that.
Yeah, there's no love loss there. All right, Matthew, we need Mixon and Major. I think he means defense.
Bengals.
Defense, defense, whatever. Yeah. And that's the thing is if we can run the ball against Baltimore, the best way to beat Lamar Jackson, if you sit on the sideline. I mean, if we can run the ball, And win the, I mean, I'm serious. That's the best way to beat them. You run the ball and you win the time of possession, you got a good chance of beating them. I mean,
100%. That's the only, that's pretty much, you know, the only porridge you pour in your bowl that game is literally right. to keep him on the sideline. That's right. all you get. I mean, they're going to score, but we can't play wishy-washy.
No. All right, I'm bringing the chili. Says Bengals need draft Penny Swell. The guy out of Oregon. I can't lineman? Say his name. Yeah, he's a lineman, which I'm kind of. That's what a lot of people have said. We'll see. I mean, he hasn't even played yet this year. The Pac-12 hasn't played. I've never seen the guy play, so I really can't speak on it. I have no idea. I've never seen him play. I mean, trust me, if Oregon starts playing, Pac-12 actually decides they want to play, which they are. You know, them and Ohio State decide not to play, take their ball and go home. You know. Bearcats are playing.
Really?
That's all I'm saying, Jeremy. All I'm saying.
Okay. We'll find out. We'll see.
Don't worry. Sometime we're gonna do a Bengals Ohio State game or show. It's gonna be fun. Be more fun if they were playing, but I didn't know Jeremy last year. All right, 38-34 Bengals upset. All right, I like where your head's at there.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Lamar, I think we will score points, but how can we even stop Lamar? And plus having rookie linebackers. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but Lamar Jackson is the reason, the only reason we drafted all those linebackers. But, I mean, Wilson didn't even play this past week because of concussion. So, I don't even know if he's going to be able to play. I mean, hopefully he can come back. And it's only out a week.
That's true. The injury report is, you know, a few days away. So, we're going to have to wait on that. But we could use him.
We could. I'm bringing the chili. Says, yeah, he's the best rated tackle out of college. PFF ever grade. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll tell you this. Justin Herbert last year was probably the number one ranked quarterback at this time last year. So, but then the guy named Joe freaking Burrow came onto the scene. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's not good. I don't know. I mean, football season, we still got a ways to go until they actually really start getting all these schools playing. So, we'll have to wait and see. He might be that good.
Yeah.
You all better pray hard for Gino. Oh, dude, I've been praying like crazy. Come on, Gino. We need you bad, brother. We need you back bad.
When you're praying for Mike Daniels, you know, a quick recovery to come back, you're waiting on Gino Atkins. I mean, that he is the cornerstone of this defense.
Supreme Justice, we need Sean Williams at outside linebacker. That we talked about that, or at least I talked about that in the offseason. I don't think that's a bad idea, honestly. I think he did play linebacker a little bit last year, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he came up some and kind of snuffed out the run or something like that. But, yes, it was actually – they were supposed to kind of incorporate him into the 3-4 defense that we've been talking about that we have not been really seeing. Right. I don't know where that's at. I don't know where Sean Williams is at to get back out on the field. But when it happens, maybe that's what they're waiting on. I don't know.
Jacob, do you think Redmond will start guard next week?
Yes.
He's been the best left guard we've had, or right guard we've had. Yeah, he'll be starting the same five guys, as long as they're all healthy, will start next game. Yeah, they don't have a choice. I mean – and that's going to be interesting because it'll be the first time all year that they'll have the same guys back-to-back weeks. So there's no shuffling in and out. Billy Price isn't going to come in for a half and then Fred Johnson come in and, you know, it's going to be Redmond. And, you know, that to me, that helps an offense line because you need that cohesiveness. You need, you know, all right, when he takes a step, if you're right guard, he takes a step this way, I take a step this way. Whichever way the rush is coming, okay, he's going to do this. You know it without even thinking about it. So those are things that help and come with just playing together.
Yeah, and don't get us wrong, by the way, we know he's not the answer.
No.
Redmond. No. We know Redmond's not the answer.
He might be the answer this year, but for a future.
But he is this year. Yes. But he's not going anywhere this year.
No. We need to draft. I want to draft a right guard and a right tackle or sign him. One of the two. All right. Bring in Chili. It sucks. How much Dunlap has seemingly declined this year. Hope Geno has it. I mean, we say the same thing about AJ Green. I mean, you know, when these guys get in their 30s, football ain't easy. I mean, when you get in your 30s, man, it you're not the same. You're just not. I mean, Geno has played good as far as making tackles and stuff, but putting pressure on the QB, he's nowhere near what he was. Now, if Geno comes and he's getting that pressure up the middle, then that might take some of the double teams off of Dunlap, and it might, you know, free him and Hubbard off, you know, off the edges. We'll see. That's the way this defense usually works. You got to double team Geno, and that opens up the edges. But we haven't had that yet because, you know, Geno hasn't been able to play all year. So
yeah, we definitely haven't had that push up the middle. I mean, Reeder's played pretty well. I'd like to hear his name a little bit more than we have, but it is kind of hard seeing Dunlap though. You know, I'm kind of with him on that. I watched Dunlap quite a bit, and it is kind of hard watching him. You know how he used to always get around that edge. You know, he would always find a way, and to kind of see him really being blocked at that point where he used to kind of cut around and get to the quarterback. Now he's kind of just being pushed out from the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It is kind of hard to see, but it was just a game. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I always remember him in the game against the Cleveland Browns when Johnny Manziel, we sacked him like five times. I think Dunlap sacked him twice, and he's standing over him doing the money sign. Like, yeah, that's my boy. I love Carlos Dunlap. I knew that was going to happen.
You've got to love Dunlap, Mixon. You've got to love how these guys are so excited. You know that they love Cincinnati. You know they love playing for Cincinnati. Just to see that emotion coming out from Dunlap, as he's always been, and Mixon's always been, but going over to the sidelines, Mixon, it's a good thing to see that they're still in it for Cincinnati, and they love being here.
Right. Good. You can read this one, Jeremy.
They need to rotate Sims in at quarter a lot more. He played good.
He started for the first game. I don't know if he played. He played all right. He got a lot of pass interferences, though.
You know? Yeah, they picked on Sims quite a bit, but as a rookie,
right?
He played decent. But.
Well, they went after him because last week he got his first interception.
Yeah,
so they went after this week.
But, yeah, they picked on him quite a bit, but he held his own. He was decent. He was pretty good.
He wasn't bad. Yeah, he's all right. I bring the Chili. I think he's the best rated interior run stopper. I think he's talking about. Either talking about DJ Reader or he's talking about Geno. Probably Reader.
Yeah. I mean, I say both. Reader,
Reader is definitely here for run stop. That is for sure. All right, Matthew. Geo was killing it when called on yesterday. Yards on the ground. Yards on the ground. I know we don't live in Cleveland, Jeremy, but Cleveland is laying it down on the ground.
Yeah. Cowboys didn't look too good.
No, they did not. He was talking about Reader. Reader is definitely he's a run stopper. He's not really the pass rusher. Geno, that's where I was so excited to have him and Geno right next to each other and see how that happens or how that works this year. We haven't got a chance to see that one freaking game because Geno hurt his shoulder. I really not know what he actually did. I mean, how did you hurt your shoulder? We didn't even play games. anyway. All right, Matthew. I think we've got our running game together. We can really be competitive in our division against our rivals who all can run. Connor with Pittsburgh, Chubb with Cleveland, Jackson, and of Jackson, of course, yeah. Well, I mean, our run game, I haven't been worried about our running backs. It's our offensive line. that's been our biggest problem this whole year. Well,
like you said, when you got Mixon dancing in the backfield, looking for a hole, that's just not the way to do it. He's a one cut runner or one jump runner, however you want to call him. And if that hole's not there when he jumps, there's not a hole there. You know, there's nowhere for him to go. He's getting swallowed up. So
one thing I did like is they got him out of the passing game. You know, he did get a couple screens. They split him out wide. I mean, he had a touchdown or a receiving touchdown. And if you watch him out in open space, he can make guys miss. He did pretty good in that.
I was shocked at his speed, to be honest with you. There on a couple of those tosses, I was pretty shocked with his speed, especially on that one swing pass where he ran around and completely outran. They even, you know, they had the line on him, and I was impressed with the speed from Mixon yesterday for sure.
Yeah. Jacob, we need to implement more screens in this offense, especially with Gio. Yeah, I've said that with Gio a lot. I think Gio had a good game though. He had a pretty good game yesterday. I had his you got his stats. I got him somewhere. Oh yeah, flipped on my paperwork here. Where did I put it? Because Gio didn't have that bad of a game.
Yeah, he had. I mean, when he was right, called upon.
That's not true. Where's Gio? Receiving. Tyler Boyd. Okay, Bernard. Here you go. Okay, well, he not as good as I thought. He had two attempts for 19 yards, but they were really two really good plays, I guess, because they stuck out in my head. I thought it was more than that.
Well, they were completely. I mean, when he was called upon, when his number got called, he did his job. And whether it was blocking, whether it was taking a run for 10 yards for a first down, whatever we needed at the time, Gio done it. He done it yesterday for sure.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Whoever you are, I appreciate it. Me and Jeremy work really hard at trying to find information and stuff for you guys to talk about. Now, if you guys have seen this on Bengals Nation or on my Facebook page, Sports with Strawberry Ice, this is a YouTube show. So you see your name, like this says Facebook user, just go to my YouTube channel. It's Sports with Strawberry Ice. And just click on it, hit subscribe, and every time we go live, it'll pop up. Cost you nothing. It's free. And I'd appreciate it if you guys subscribe to me. That would be great. All right, here you go. Matthew, I think if we keep our running game going with Gio, Mixon, and some of the other fancy receiving running plays, then we can become competitive with the Justin Chubbs.
Connor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, one thing I will say, now people complain about, you know, where's this innovative offense, you know, Zach Taylor was supposed to have. I mean, in the second half, honestly, I thought it was pretty balanced and pretty good. I mean, I really don't have anything to complain about his play calling for once. And I've said this on other shows that, it all starts, and I keep saying it over and over again, but it all starts with offensive line. If you got time to run the ball, you got time to throw the ball, you got time to do different things, you know, you can change it up a little bit.
And you know, he you got to give it to Taylor on this one. We're 1-2-1. It is what it is. We still actually have a shot. You know, I don't even like to even, but it's there. Yeah. The door is still there. Open. We've got to keep being innovative, I guess you could say, with different. I liked a few of the wide receivers, you know, handing the ball to the receiver, faking a pass, running around the edges, keeping them, you know, that was giving mix in the middle, you know, keeping them spread out. I did like that, but man, I tell you what, how unlucky I'm. Some of the things when we're down there at the 2 yard line, the 5 yard line, the 10 yard line, some of the things that happen with penalties and somebody pulling the ball out of our guy's arms, or it got me back to the 90s again. I'm going, oh my God, I've never seen this before in my life. Are you serious? You know, how? But
yeah, it's just that, well, like I said, that one for Sample. And I hope he'll learn from it, because I mean, I really do think Sample can be a very good tight end for us. You know, I think the athletic ability, the ability to block, ability to get open, he's got to work on the contest the ball. Like we talked about earlier in the show, you know, you catch that ball, you keep it up and up above your head, and you keep it up there, because that's where the ball was. You know, Joe Burrow threw it, so he can catch it, land on your back, land on your butt, whatever. Keep the ball up there. Don't bring it down, because Miles Jack wouldn't even, like you said, He wasn't even looking at him. He wasn't even looking at the ball. He didn't know the ball was coming until he brings it down. He goes, oh, the ball's there. And he, you know, yanks it out.
It was that simple. It was
right.
Oh, it's hard to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm watching the replay going, okay, all he's got to do is have the ball and 2 feet down and control of it, and that's it. Well, he never had control of the ball. You know,
I mean, I was down, jumping up and down. I thought it was a touchdown.
I'm like, yeah, touchdown. Bro.
Yeah. Oh. No.
Yeah. And then we're blowing up the chat back. Yeah, touchdown. Ah, crap. No, it's not.
These guys suck. No.
Oh, my goodness. If the Bengals can keep building upon this game, that's the biggest thing. They got the win. They got the taste of winning. They know what it takes to win. Man, if I'm telling you, for some reason, if they can go in there and they can compete with Baltimore, pull one out, this whole thing could change. It could. I'm not saying it's going to, but you go into Baltimore and you compete with them, you give them a game, or if you actually win, dude, we might have something. I don't know. Like I said, I'm always, half the glass half full. You know, I'm always more optimistic. I really don't think we're going to go in and win, but I'm like, just think if we could, crazier things have happened.
No. I'll tell you right now, I'm not paying $300 and some a year to watch the Bengals, play every game and watch them lose. I mean, I don't have an NFL ticket for that. Okay. I bought that to watch them win. So
yeah,
it's time to go against a big boy team, and it's time to show what we can do defense and offense, but defense and offensive line for sure.
Yeah. Cause like I said, when we did that show about the Reds losing and everything, I'm going to do this one of these days. I'm going to be able to laugh at all you Ravens fans and all you Squealers fans and all you Tweety Bird fans, because my team's going to freaking win one of these days. I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
One day.
My blood pressure just shot to the roof. All right. I'm bringing the chili. What do you guys think about Jesse Bates? I think he's a top 8 safety right now. Yes. I think he's a top 8 safety for sure. Oh, man. There's my boy. Hold on a second. He's got to do it every show. There's City Boy.
Fire the coach.
Fire the coach. We won the game. Fire the coach.
Get him out of town.
Go away. He's terrible. Hi, buddy. How are you? Nice to see you. City Boy. City Boy is becoming a folk hero around here. Let's see. Are you actually going to ask a question, City Boy? Okay. Hey, all right. He's got a serious question. A statement, more or less. I love the five wide outs. We need to keep running the five wide. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to run five wide receivers when you don't have to keep a tight end or somebody in to block. When you can actually block, you can do stuff like that.
Well, and Burrow's more – I mean, that's what Burrow ran at LSU. I mean, that's
– right.
He's comfortable in that. Let him do it. Mm-hmm. But if – like you said, if we've got to have two extra blockers in every series, you can't run a five wide receiver set, period.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of the stuff that the Bengals run is the same or very similar to what Joe ran at LSU. I mean, he's even said it. It's just it's different terminology, but it's same stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that helps. And Joe said it in the past. You could tell he likes the up tempo. He likes going fast. He likes keeping them out there, and quick, get the ball and get out. Five wides. That I think that's like I said. If we can block, that's going to be there more often than not. We're going to go five wide set.
Exactly. And man, five wide receiver sets, three wide receiver sets. I don't care. To see Joe friggin' Burrow
friggin'
play. And after all the years that we've seen Akili Smiths, David Klinglers, Paul Justin. Remember Paul Justin? I mean,
Paul, jeez, that's where'd you get that name from? That's a while ago.
There we go. I mean, to see Joe Burrow play this way, if you guys aren't excited out there, something is seriously wrong, because we have got a great future ahead of us. We've got a few pieces on the offensive line and defense to take care of. After that, wow, this kid's amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, I'm going to get to my Facebook groups here that I help run and invite you guys to come join. Me and Jeremy run a couple of these. They are Bengals Nation, Bearcat Country, Reds Country, and Cyclones Country. And as always, you can follow me on all my social media platforms. I'm on Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You guys can check the show out later if you want on the podcast form. I will be posting that later on tonight. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, do me a favor, give us a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate that. And we're at, like I said, 656 YouTube subscribers. So now we're coming to Poem Time by Jeremy Dean. Jeremy, take it away, please, sir.
Da, 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 da. I wrote this for all you guys. Actually, after the Bengal win, I wanted to celebrate with my buddy Jeff.
Yeah.
And you. So here we go.
Yeah.
This poem is called Bengal Fans. Bengal fan. It's finally time to stand up and cheer. Go to the fridge. Grab that ice cold beer.
Woo! Now you're talking.
I know as fans, we aren't used to winning. Kind of like watching the Reds go through 13 innings.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to get through.
Very, very tough. Very tough.
Although our team is injured and sore, it's time we move on and whoop some butt at Baltimore. So whether your name is Jeff, Jeremy, or Patty, always remember, you don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. Hootay!
Yeah! Hootay! And that's your sports, baby. See ya!